Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
He got him in the white trunks. He hurt him.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the count. Wow. And you think it's a mission. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
is how Rich
one
Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and this is the interview edition of the show. And I have got a trio of interviews coming here on this edition of the show. The first conversation you're going to hear is with Mike Rodriguez, who is back inside the UFC Octagon coming up here this Saturday, a UFC fight night, Volkov versus Overeem. Had a chance to talk to Mike about his fight coming up here on Saturday night. Also, had a little fun. We talked about some his favorite apps, introduced me to an app that I was not aware of. Also, we talked a little music as well. So I had a great chance, great conversation with Mike Rodriguez. So that is coming up. Then you're going to hear my conversation with O'Day Osborne, who will also be fighting on Saturday at the UFC Fight Night card inside the UFC Apex. As I had a chance to speak to him about 2 weeks ago, right after he went through an opponent change for this one. Of course, really the big storyline with O'Day heading into this one is that it will be his UFC flyweight debut. So had a great conversation. I talked to O'Day just kind of about his move down to 125 pounds, everything that's been happening with him over the last year. Of course, the last time we saw him was in January of last year when he was unable to get the victory there against Brian Keller. Also, the fact that O'Day is a teacher there in his home state, you know, kind of asked him what's that been like for him as being a teacher in the pandemic that we're still currently in. So that conversation, great chat I had with O'Day Osborne. Then in the final conversation, you're going to hear from one of the men that's going to be fighting for the Titan FC featherweight title come here on February the 12th. That is Olivier Mourad. Actually, I called Olivier's professional debut for Shogun Fights. Had a great conversation with him about a week or so ago as I talked to him. Just kind of what's been going on with him since the last time I had a chance to talk to him back in his pro debut. And of course, this title fight come up here for him at Titan FC. So those interviews come up here on this edition of the podcast. Before I get into that, I had a tweet the other day, put it on my Instagram, my Facebook, put it on all my social media channels, but huge thank you for your support of this podcast and myself and Daniel Galvan of showing your support for us by checking out our sponsors, because that is a great way to show your support for a podcast is just by checking out the sponsors. And heard from two sponsors this week and told me how much they're just loving the interaction they're having with my listeners. So just huge thank you for checking out my sponsor. Of course, another great way to show your support for the podcast is by leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That does help us out a lot. Look, hey, doesn't cost you anything, but always appreciate when you do check out my sponsors. Actually got a new sponsor popping on the podcast here coming on Wednesday's edition. We'll tell you a little bit about Lucy Nicotine coming up on Wednesday's podcast. Of course, if you ever want to know the sponsors of the MMA Report podcast, all you got to do, go to MMAreport.com. Right there on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see all of our sponsors and the deals that they have for the MMA Report podcast listener. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Mike Rodriguez, who is back in the Octagon coming on Saturday at the UFC Fight Night card there in Las Vegas. This will be the first time we see Mike Rodriguez back in the UFC cage since being unable to get the victory there against Ed Herman. And, of course, having an unsuccessful appeal with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So here is my conversation with Mike Rodriguez. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who is stepping back inside the Octagon. As we're talking, we're 8 days out from him stepping back inside the Octagon. Mike Rodriguez. Mike, man, appreciate the time, man. Obviously, it's been an interesting couple of months for you. I know going on your Instagram, man, get into the video game Twitch world, I see.
Yeah, I've been streaming a lot. I took a little hiatus because it was pretty distracting. In terms of like trying to keep a schedule and train, I just would have like no energy to make good content. So I just was like, you know what? Let's put on a back burner, you know?
I'd say I was reading the article that was that you did with UFC.com where they, you know, kind of wrote about, you know, your mindset heading this one. And I'd tell you there were two quotes that just really stuck out to me where you said, quote, "A lot of things I would catch myself getting invested into them, and then I had to stop and reel myself out. And you get better at now, if there's something I can't do anything about it or change, I'm on to the next. I don't get time to focus on that. I just focus on the things I can control." The last part of that is like, is something I live with a day. Like I can't worry about things that just I can't control. And obviously that quote's kind of is obviously in relation to your last fight. I mean, is that always kind of that mentality you've had of like, man, all I can control is what I do in the gym and on fight night?
Yeah, that's it. Like I used to always like get in my head about like, oh, I wonder what like my opponent's doing. I wonder what this doing. And it's like, I can't control those factors. All I know I can control me showing up every single day. I'm like, train every day I need to train hard. You know what I mean? Eat right, sleep right. I know I can control all of those things, but all them other external things, I can't control them shits. Like, it is what it is, you know? So I just focus on those things. And, you know, I've always been that way. So just kept on pushing with it.
So like you're not peeking into your opponent's social media game and trying to see.
I'm not like that. Nah. I'm like, I just do what I gotta do. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like I have like friends and family members and stuff that'll tell me like, hey, I saw him do XYZ, and I'm just like, oh, I don't care. Like, you know, that's his thing. I'm gonna do what I wanna, like I'm gonna do and what I need to do, and that's it.
There was another quote in here where it just starts off with, you said, it's just one fight at a time. And I know that's like, we hear that in sports all the time. One fight at a time, one game at a time, and all that situation. But is that just a correlation of kind of your career and learning lessons of like, man, I just got to worry about February 6th. I can't worry about February 7th.
Right. Yeah. Because people, they always want to just like, make you skip all these other steps. You know what I mean? If you go up a flight of stairs, you're not gonna Johnny leap over half of the stairs. No, you're gonna take one step at a time to go up the stairs. Just being mindful and being present in the moment going up. So I just always think of that same concept. Like I have to fight him, and then I gotta fight the next guy I gotta fight. Then I gotta fight the next guy. I'm not gonna skip over him to the next guy. Like, no. Also, that's just kind of douchey to like just skip over a person. Like, no, he's a real person. I gotta fight him, deal with him. Then I'll deal with the next guy, then so forth and so forth. I just one day at a time, one fight at a time, just keep it moving. I know it sounds like a little AA thing, but yeah, no, it's true though. Just deal with one thing at a time, you know?
And of course, this UFC Apex environment, it's a very now familiar scene to you. Yeah. Now that you've now done it twice, are you going to switch anything up fight week coming up? As opposed to what you did previously there?
No, not switching up anything. Just go out there and perform the way I can, you know, and to the best of my abilities. But I'm not going to switch anything up, no.
So earlier today, Tapology is kind of my preferred place to go to, you know, look at things. Just because, like, I feel like it's a good chance it's, like, actually true. You know, sometimes you go, sometimes it may not be true. So yeah. I was looking at your opponent here, Danilo. You know, obviously you look outside looking in, 10-2, won his UFC debut, of course, you know, against Abrahimov, who 0-4 in the UFC. But then it made me wonder, because I was kind of going down his record. I was wondering, did you go back at all and look at his fight where he fought a fighter who is at the time 0-16 and is now 0-21 when he was 7-2?
Holy shit. I never even looked at that. Holy shit. No, I didn't see that. That's insane. No, I didn't see that. The last fight I watched besides his last fight was the Myron Dennis fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched that fight. And I just wanted to see a couple of little things in that fight. But yeah, those are the only two fights I watched. It's not a lot of film on him. It's not a lot. So I just went off of those two.
Does it make it easier to prepare for the fight when there's not a lot of film out there?
No, I just I just need to pick up little things that he did in between those two fights. Granted, those two fights are years apart from each other, but out of those two things, like, he relatively do the same thing. So I just need to pick up those little habits that he did, and then we just capitalize from there. But no, it doesn't bother me.
As you looked at his UFC debut, is there something that you're like, okay, I gotta be on the lookout for that?
Yeah, he's a stud grappler. I know that. He's a stud grappler, and it's just things, just like on the grappling department, things I need to be cautious of. But other than that, he's a good fighter. He's good. He's game, but that's about it. You know.
I mean, you live in the Northeast. I know there's there's so many regulations in the Northeast in terms of gyms and in terms of grappling. So what is grappling? Is it normal life for you?
Yes and no. So I had to. So when I fought Patrino and Herman last year, COVID was running rapid, and it was still new to us. We didn't know how to deal with it. Now we have a year experience of how to deal with COVID. So we're like, fuck it. Unless we can deal with some things. So luckily, I had some, I opened my camp a little more, had a couple other guys come in, like bigger body guys, more grappling, heavy guys. So that's how was able to work it. And, shout out to all those guys. They've been nothing but great, following everything to a T. They not going out here or there, not trying to do anything. They just been like, all right, yep. Cause they know, they know that my livelihood's online, so they've just been there to help me out. They've been nothing but nice, and it's been great.
You know, obviously, you're always going to have the length advantage in a fight just because of how long you are. But he's a fairly big guy as well. I mean, you still have a couple inches on him. But like as you talk about there, the grappling, I just kind of like every time someone's going up against you, that's likely the route they're going to try to go against you, though, right?
Yeah, it seems that way.
I mean, do you take that as a compliment that like, okay, they really respect my stand-up game, so they just don't want to battle me at that aspect?
Yeah. And I also think they probably think that grappling is like the weakest part of my game. So they're like, oh, he's not that experienced. Granted, I just got submitted by Ed Herman. So they're like, oh yeah, we're going to capitalize on that, and other fights I lost to, like when I lost to Devin Clark, he just controlled me with his wrestling. So they're like, oh yeah, that is the way to win. That is the way to win. So, of course they're going to try to just take that route to win, but I'm getting better and better all the time. Outside of my camps, in my camps, I'm just constantly evolving, constantly getting better. So it just makes it harder and harder for them to do it. Now they're going to start running that option. I'm like, well, shit, we can't take them down. Well, shit, we can't strike with them. So then what? And I'm like, fuck it, bring in the cannon, But yeah, it doesn't bother me, nah.
Like when you're not in camp, how do you? I mean, is a lot of it grappling based in terms of, or is it still you're still kind of mixing everything up?
No, I still mix it up, but it is. I do work on, just trying to be like everybody's trying to be the most complete fighter possible. Yeah. Even though, we can't, we only have so much time in the sport, but I just prioritize. I'm like, all right, I know my strong suit, I'm a really good striker. So I'll work on make sure my conditioning is up, make sure my grappling is up, make sure my wrestling's up. So I just work on those while, the striking is taking a back seat, but I still strike. I still do everything, but some things I do more than others. Yes.
We'll get a couple of fun ones in here before we get out of here. Favorite app on your phone that is not social media related?
That's not social media related. It's this thing called, it's called Product This, I think it's called.
Okay.
I want to triple check because I don't want to give you the wrong information. Product Hunt is what it's called.
And what's Product Hunt?
So basically, you can go on there and pick up all sorts of cool, techie type apps, all sorts of them. And it's awesome. It really is. It's sick. And you can I picked up a pack to change my phone layout. So, and granted, you know, Apple, they're very like anal about how they have everything. It's like very hard to be creative with Apple products, but it helps you be creative. Like you could change all sorts of things, but you have to go through their shortcut app and make things like that. But it's cool. So like all my icons look different. So when people see my phone, like, what the fuck? Like, how is it? They're like, did you jailbreak that? And I'm like, no, it's just something I download from there. There's a couple other little apps that you can get from there, but I like it. I'm always on there. Like, let me see what else is there. And then there's like stuff on there. I'll send to my friends and my friends are like, what the hell is this? I'm like, it's an app that you can get. But yeah. But I think on product this, most of the apps that they have on there are not on the market. Mm-hmm. They're like on their webs, on the company's websites and stuff like that. So it's cool. It's really cool.
Like based
on, that's my favorite.
Based off that, based off the thing I see you on social media, you seem like you're big into something new technology comes out. You're like, I got to test this thing out.
Yeah. I am. I'm like not crazy into techie like some of my friends, but I'm a techie. I'm a little techie. Yeah. I got a little techie in me. I like technology. Yeah.
My wife calls me Mr. Upgrade because something new comes out. I got to get it.
You got to upgrade? Some stuff I am like that. Some stuff I'm not. Some stuff I'm like, yeah, I can miss that. Like when it comes to like phones and stuff, because, you know, you don't want to get into that cycle like, oh, I got to upgrade. Because then it's like you don't really get the full use of the previous thing you had because you just upgraded a year later when a new stuff come out. So it's like, it's not like it's obsolete. It still works. It's just a year. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. So like when people like try to run in line to get the new iPhones and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I could wait like a year or two or whenever mine's just falling apart.
So I got when the new iPhone came out the end of last year, all I did was I went on the AT&T website, bought it, and came here the first day it was out. Like it was simple. I didn't have to stand. Look, you are not catching me standing in no line. No way.
I hear that. if I like, it's only certain things I'm like that with. Like, for instance, like my mouse. I have the Logitech G Pro. Okay. Yellow is my favorite color. So when they came out with the yellow one, I was like, I have to get it. I have the black one, but I was like, I want to get the yellow one. Yeah. So I had to get the yellow one. But other than that, like I'm not normally like that. Like I'm just like, oh, whatever. More than anything, I just like to be caught up on the news and everything, but I'm not going to go balls to wall and try to upgrade things if I don't need to.
Like, look, I want to get a PS5, but I'm not like, when it's at stock at Target, I'm going to get it. Okay. But it's just never there.
I'm the same way. I want it, but I'm like, you know what? I'm in a rush to get it. Then I have friends who have it and they're like, eh, it's nothing for it. So it's just like, this is a PS5.
The thing that kind of sold for me, a buddy guy, like he got the new Xbox, the PS5, the day it came out. Like he is massive gamer. And so I guess like the PS5, the controller, like it's got speakers in the actual controller. And I forget whatever game he's playing. It's like, yeah, you can hear me walking through the woods. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool if it's right in your controller.
Yeah, it is cool. It is. It has a lot of cool features. But again, like I'm like, I'll wait. Like I'm in no rush. So I think like when the next ones drop in March or whatever, when stores start getting them again, I'll just get it during that time. But other than that, I'm in no rush for it.
Like, I had to laugh. It was like a couple weeks ago, I'm walking in Target. I see a sign where in the video game section, it's like, if you want to order a new PS or Xbox, you got to order an app and it has to do the drive up order. And I'm sitting there going, okay, there has been a fight in Target somewhere where someone had it, was like walking to the register and someone tried to beat them up for it. Had to be.
That's for real. But I don't. I'm like, whatever. It's all right. I'll get it. I know I'm gonna get it. I'm just in no rush to get it.
Yeah, me either. when we're talking about your phone, and if one of your friends went through your phone and started looking at your music playlist, would there be something that would surprise them?
There's a couple of things. I got a couple of things that in there will probably surprise him. Like, believe it or not, I'll tell you, it's nothing to be ashamed of, but believe it or not, the Grease soundtrack is like one of my favorite albums of all time. One of my favorite movies ever too. And it was like kind of forced upon me growing up, I have one female cousin and the rest of it, we're all boys. There's only one female. So, you know, watching TV when growing up, we had to take turns to let her watch something at times. So she always like West Side Story, Grease, things like that. So I'm like, all right, fine. And it just like over time, it just like grew on you. And now I'm 32. I'm like, all right, I can mess with some grease. So yeah, I listen to it from time to time. My kids, they always like, why are you listening to this? Like, it's the shit. You guys don't know.
The thing I find interesting when I've asked fighters that is one of the more common answers I get is classical music.
Classical music.
Yeah.
I have some of that. I have I think her name was like LP. Like, it's like, I have like random music because I would be like out somewhere and I hear something and I'm like, oh, and I activate SoundHound, listen to it. And then next, you know, I like the artist and I'll listen to like some more songs of them and it just grows from there. So like, I have like a bunch of random artists. Like, I have things from like hip hop to like doo-wop, like 1950s type music, because I just like listening to stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so, I worked in terrestrial radio for over a decade. So like, I've listened, you name the genre, I've likely been around it at some point, you know, it's like, you know, like if I'm on, you know, the treadmill, like I've got to listen to something upbeat. I can't listen to something slow. I got to have something, you know, whether it's hip hop, it's rock or something like that. I just, you know, that's the type of, you know, just kind of get me going when, you know, I'm getting a run. Right.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I'm the same way. Like when I'm coming to the gym, my go-to music, what I always listen to is like hardcore and post-hardcore rock. I love it. So when I'm going to the gym, things like that, I listen to that to pump me up. And even when I'm working out, but like there's times where like after I'm done with the gym, I don't want to listen to that. I'll listen to like, I don't know, like Stevie Wonder, you know, or like some Miles Davis, something like that. Something chill, something cool, you know. Like I'm always like switching it up. It all depends on my mood.
Yeah. No. We can all feel you on that one. Of course, it all goes down here February 6th, UFC Fight Night, the night before the Super Bowl. Of course, everyone can watch this event. Be sure to check it out, Mike. As always, man, I appreciate time. Of course, let me know anything for you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Anybody can find me at Emerald MMA on Twitter and on Instagram. I want to thank my sponsors. Planet Eats, they helped me out tremendously throughout this camp, provided me with all sorts of healthy foods. They're awesome. Kill Cliff is, those are my guys. They also send me a bunch of stuff as well. Give us a huge spot, huge shout out to Modest Needs Foundation, which is a charity organization that helps people, low income people and families just get through with everyday struggles. And in fact, now during this whole pandemic, they actually need our help. The staff actually need our help because, you know, they're not able to do their job and whatnot. So, yeah, it's been pretty good. And yeah, that's it.
And there was my conversation with Mike Rodriguez. Appreciate him coming on the podcast, talk about his fight coming up here on Saturday night inside the UFC Apex. Kind of nice to have some UFC fights come up here on Saturday night, a night for the Super Bowl. So I think if you're a longtime listener, you know I will be working at the Super Bowl as a part of the Buccaneers Radio Network. You know, looking forward to next Sunday. Of course, I will have a podcast next Sunday morning as well. So don't fear. You need your little fix before the Super Bowl. We'll have a new episode of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, also a part of that UFC Fight Night card in Las Vegas on Saturday will be Ode Osborne as he makes his UFC flyweight debut. Of course, we got to get to know Ode over the past year or so. Of course, on the Contender Series, gets into the UFC. He only fought one time in 2020. That was at the very beginning of 2020, unable to get the victory. I had a chance to speak to Ode about 2 weeks ago it was right as he went through an opponent change. Talked about his decision of going down to 125-pound division, why ultimately he decided to make that move. And we talked about a wide range of other topics, including his day job as a teacher. Joining me now here on the MMA Report, a man's going to step back inside the octagon for the first time in just over a year. Ode Osborne. Ode, man, appreciate the time. It's going to be basically 13 months. you know, away from competition for you. You know, obviously you're supposed to fight here on the 30th. We know that obviously did not happen. And obviously 2020 was, you know, I mean, we talked back in April about, you know, kind of what the world was, but for you as a martial artist, I mean, I guess the biggest note is you're going down 125 pounds, but like, how do you describe 2020?
2020 was an eye opener in so many different ways, you know. I think it shook up the world in levels that it hasn't been shaken up in a long time. We had two, you know, different variations. We had the George Floyd incident, you know, Ahmaud Arbery incident. Then there was the COVID incident. And that, you know what I'm saying? There was just so much. And then just all the different ripple effects that happened. 2020 caused so much division. And, you know, with COVID and everything, it really slowed a lot of stuff down. But it also tests you as a person, you know. It tests you in a lot of different ways. If you're not used to struggling or not used to certain things, it really tests you, kind of like if you've never been camping, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, throw you out into the woods and say, hey, you gotta survive now. That's what it was like. Like, you know, luckily I grew up camping, so I was good at surviving.
I remember when everything was going on during the summer with, you know, what happened George Floyd, and then, you know, what happened in Kenosha. You were out on the streets in your hometown. How do you describe that as just for someone who is not, you know, in the Milwaukee area that, you know, just saw things, you know, maybe they're a friend of yours on Facebook and they don't live, you know, near you. Like, I'm in Tampa. How do you describe your feelings during those time periods?
It was a lot of emotions going through, to be honest. And it's, to be honest with you, it's a feeling that you can't describe. It's undescribable. To put it in lesser words, I knew that, you know, I had risks going out there that I couldn't fight, and I could get COVID, and I could, you know what I mean, a lot of things that could happen, you know what I'm saying? But if Martin Luther King had stayed still, we would all still be, you know, in the same society that we were. So, you know, I just did what I thought and felt that I needed to do, and not just for me, but for everybody else. I know I have a platform, and what good am I sitting on my platform? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The big news with you is going down to 25. What ultimately made you decide to make this move?
To be honest, when me and my teammate Montel was training here in the summertime, and it's something my coach and I were talking about, you know, my coach has talked about it. Like, he's talked about it a lot, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people have talked about it. And it was, you know, it's not something I've entertained, but I think training with one of my teammates here over the summertime, you know, kind of like one-on-one every single day when COVID was going on, you know, mm-hmm. We were in here, you know, because it's COVID don't mean we got to stop training. Yeah. So we were in here kind of quarantine training, me and him. And, you know, I had this vision of him being, cause he's a lot bigger. He probably walks around at like 55 while I walk around at like 45, you know what I'm saying? And he fights at 35. So I had this vision of, you know, having us being two champions in the same gym from two different weight classes that I thought that would be neat if he could, you know, gain the 35 title and I get the 25 title. But we both can't get a fight at 35 and become champions, you know what I mean? So I kind of stopped thinking about myself for a little bit and started thinking about, like, the people around me. And I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool.
So leads me to the question. When's the last time you saw the number 126 on the scale?
Freshman year of high school. That's probably the last time. But it's not going to be difficult for me. I guess I walk around at 145 comfortably, like eating whatever I want, you know. And when I get to I fight at 35. Usually when I fly into Vegas a week before my fight, I'm like 137, 138. You know what I'm saying? So I've always been kind of smaller. I've fought at 45, actually, four times. I fought at 45 four times. I fought one guy I fought twice. So I feel like this is going to be it's going to be interesting, because I'm not, you know, I'm so used to fighting a bigger and stronger, not necessarily more bullish. I think I've always been the bull, but it's going to be interesting. I haven't seen 126 in a while.
And of course, you only got to see 126 for about a minute or so. Step on that scale, and then you can rehydrate. Yeah. You know, but we were supposed to see, obviously, it was initially that you were going to fight the end of January. Obviously, that did not happen. And so when did you actually get presented with this fight against Malcolm?
On my birthday, actually. It's not Malcolm anymore. Malcolm, that one switched. So Malcolm, something happened in his camp. So it's not Malcolm. It's a different guy. It's Donnie's, Donys, Bondar, Bondar. I got presented with that, the Malcolm fight, on my birthday, January 9th. And then a week later, they said that he was out. And so they got this guy in. You know, I actually don't even know if I'm supposed to say that we're fighting yet, but you know, it's 18 days away, 17 days away. I think I'm all right.
You know, when you have that change up in an opponent, like what goes through your mind when you get that call?
Nothing. I just keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I come in here and I tell my coaches, I'm like, nothing changes. 'Cause at the end of the day, I'm going to fight like how I'm going to fight. You know what I'm saying? Knowing my opponent just gives me an edge, but the real sword is me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, but knowing the opponent's style gives me kind of, you know, a little idea, but, when you're the hammer, a lot of the times they're the ones that are preparing for you. You know what I'm saying?
You know, do you feel like now being at flyweight that this will be a reintroduction of yourself?
Definitely. I definitely feel that 100% because just the stages of life, you know, through fighting, man, I've been through so much trials and tribulations throughout the stage of fighting. And I feel like I've not just reached a new weight division, but I've reached a more so a little bit of a humbleness that I can tell myself, like, I got this. I don't need to really boast about it. I can just be like, you know what? I got this. Like, you know, I don't want to say much more than that, than knowing that I got it.
This will be your first time experiencing what fight life is like currently, you know, fighting in Vegas, no fans, and you know, the quarantine life that you kind of have to go through, you know, how are you going through in preparations just of what fight week is going to be like? Because obviously it's an experience you haven't gone through yet.
For me, I feel that certain people are born fighters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's people that fight for the glory of fighting and the fame and the fans and the crowd and the hype of fighting. And then there's certain people that would be fine with fighting in a desert. Just two people just going at it. You know what I'm saying? That's me. Like, I can fight. I feel like my ancestors were warriors, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like it doesn't matter where it is or, you know, where I'm fighting and what the situation is. I think the biggest test for me was on Contender Series, because there was no fans. Mm-hmm. There was no music. You know what I mean? You're walking out and there's no music on Contender Series. It's so dry and you're just walking out in flip-flops and there's like three people in your area. So I've been in that situation before. Nothing's changed in that in that aspect. So I feel like I'll have an edge that way a little bit because I've been there before.
It's interesting you say that, because I was watching a Conor McGregor interview earlier this week where he was talking about how he was really interested and he was down to fight in an empty arena. Of course, as we're doing this conversation, his fight is this Saturday. And I found that really interesting. He's like, yeah, because I wanted to hear, you know, the power of my punches. I wanted to hear all that. And I think from the outside looking in, we would not think that a fighter would have that thought process that, like, they would want the fans there. They would want that atmosphere.
Well, in retrospect, you don't hear the fans anyways. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't. I only hear my coaches, and that's it. I kind of like I'm like you're so tunnel vision that you can't really hear anything. I block everything out. I just get once I'm in my zone. I don't like it's like no one else is there besides my corners, and that's it. And my teammate Jamie Simmons right there just walked by.
You know, we also talked about your life outside of fighting. You know, being a teacher. What has that been like for you this year?
It's been insane, man. To say the least, it's been so, it's so crazy because everything is flipped. Everything like went up, flipped upside down on top of his head because it's not like I just resumed everyday life going in school. I'm actually virtual right now still. And we're talking about going back in spring. So everything that I've learned about being an assistant and learned about working with kids, kind of just taking it to a ball and throwing it in the trash. Like, you don't know nothing. Nope. Everything you think you know, you don't know jack squat. We're going virtual. all 5 years, 6 years, 7 years working in school, throw it in the trash. We're going virtual. So it's been different, you know. I think for me, I'm so active, like especially in the classroom. I'm walking around doing stuff. I'm like a big, you know, a big ass kid. Yeah. So I got a lot of energy. So sitting down actually burns my brain a lot. You know, it drains me out. And so I'm probably on the computer all day until about sometimes 4 o'clock because, you know, we get together after all the teachers and talk and stuff like that about different things. So sometimes 4 o'clock. So then I start getting ready for the gym. I don't get to leave my house until like 4:15 to get the practice at 4. And sometimes I'm like always late because I'm always running. I'm like, you only see me one position. I'm like, and it's like, it's this. I'm always running. You know, I'm just like in a hurry all the time.
But I guess you get to hurry inside the octagon on February 6th. We look forward to seeing that fight. As always, man, appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Not much. Just I guess my social media, my Instagram, Ode Osborne, ODE Osborne, OSBOURNE. And then obviously, you know, shout out to my kids in the school. You know, I do this for them and the culture, man. I really want them to see a better world than we've shown in 2020. Like, people think that kids don't see all the stuff between people and all the you know, animosity and the negative racial stuff. Like, kids see, you know, they talk about that stuff. So, you know, I really want to do this for them to have a visual of that they can have a goal in mind and achieve it. You know what I'm saying? If they can work with somebody like me, like closely, to have a goal in mind and achieve it, I feel like it's going to be easier for them because a lot of people are so unfamiliar with the idea of success that it causes, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-sabotaging, I guess I would say. You know what I'm saying? Because the idea of success has been taken away from you so many times. You know what I'm saying? Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. So you self-sabotage. I think a lot of people, they do it because they're like, oh, it's not going to happen because they're so unfamiliar with the idea of success. So if the kids in my school see the success coming and see it, visually see it, they know it's possible. And they know that no matter how many times it's taken away from them, that it can be given to them and as long as they work for it.
And there was my conversation with Ode Osborne. Appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his fight coming up here on Saturday night inside the UFC Apex, UFC Fight Night. Of course, card that's going to be headlined by the heavyweight matchup between Alexander Volkov and Alistair Overeem. Now, in the final interview you're going to hear on this edition of the podcast, it's with one of the men that's going to be fighting for the Titan FC featherweight title coming up here next week, February the 12th, and that is Olivier Mourad. Had a great conversation. Actually, actually, this is now the second time that I've actually had a chance to talk to Olivier Mourad, as the first time is when he was making his professional debut in Shogun Fights, a very quick win for him. So here is my conversation with Olivier Mourad. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is one of the men that's going to be fighting for the featherweight title here, Titan FC 67, February the 12th. Olivier, I appreciate the time. It's been a long time since I had a chance to see you, as I was actually calling the fights there for Shogun Fights back on Flow Combat. So good to see you once again, man. You got a title fight, huge fight coming up for you here in just under, you know, a couple weeks now. I mean, so kind of like... When you hear, you know, title fight a couple weeks away, does something just go off in your mind?
Opportunity. And shoot, yeah, a lot of opportunity. This is what I dreamed for. I've been waiting for a fight for over a year and a half now. I haven't fought since June of 2019. I've had over 30 matchups. Everyone refused to fight me. Everyone. And then I almost finally landed a fight the beginning of COVID, and then that collapsed. You know, due to everything, the whole quarantine aspect. So that was a bummer. So then after that was another 10 to 12 fights of people declining me. So when Titan called me up, mentioned about the title fight, I was good to go. This was a message from God. Finally, you know, giving me the pathway to opening the doors for me to follow my dream. So that belt, I'm taking it with ferocity.
You mentioned about the amount of opponents that have said no to competing against you. Yeah. I guess, is there part of you that take that as a compliment of like, they know they can't beat me? Is it, how much of that is frustration? Like when you get that phone call and, you know, whether it's, you know, your coach or somebody else that says, hey man, this guy said no. Like, how do you take that news?
It's a blessing and a curse, you know, because, you know, it's flattering that people, you know, see me as a career hazard because I've been finishing everyone. So it's flattering to know that I'm a gamed opponent, but then it's also frustrating because I need these next couple of fights in order to be invited to the UFC or go on to the contender series. So it's very frustrating. You know, this is what I love to do. I sacrifice day in and day out, and it doesn't pay off unless I actually fight. So, you know, I'm a family man. Like, how else am I going to support my family? And, you know, I want to do this full time. So, you know, getting a full time job can interfere with my training. So I'm trying to do this as much as I can. And yeah, that's all in the past. You know, I focus on now and the future. So now it's the title fight. Now is my time. I'm not worried about anything else. No regrets.
Speaking of family, so how does someone growing up in Queens, New York, end up training down in South Florida?
I actually moved down to Miami when I was young, about 8 years old. And so I've always been back and forth, mainly born in New York, but, you know, mainly raised in Miami, you can say. So I'm happy, you know, being Haitian, it's natural for me to be in tropical weather. And I wouldn't want to be in New York right now. Snow, nothing but gray snow. Yeah, not pleasant whatsoever.
Yeah, I live in Tampa. Have no desire at all to live in a place that snows 6 months out of the year. No way.
Thank you. I agree there 100%. Yeah, Miami's very diverse. I love it here. Can't complain.
Yeah, I would not know what to do if I just walked outside my house and I've got a shovel of snow. I wouldn't know what to do. I just say, screw it. I guess I'm not going anywhere today.
I used to live in Illinois for college and basically, like, you know, we would still have to cut weight for wrestling. So I would have to toss on boots and I would try to run with trash bags and I wouldn't break a single sweat. So it was it was so frustrating, but you know, we had to do what we had to do.
You mentioned about your last fight was June 15th of 2019, a stoppage win against Sean Brown there. And I know a lot of fighters who are in kind of a similar situation as you, where 2020, they were unable to get a fight because of COVID and just no shows going on and whatnot. And it seems like the response you always get is that they view 2020 as a year of growth. of how they were able to grow as a martial artist, you know, enhance their skills, and how you adapted to, okay, if I can't go to the gym because it's shut down, how do I get training in? Is it in the front yard, backyard, garage, whatever it may be? So, like, how do you describe your growth as a fighter in 2020?
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw it, you know. Since I started fighting, I've always been training nonstop every month. There was actually a time where I actually received COVID. And then at the end of COVID, when I was fresh, I received a call to go on the Contender Series. But it was a very risky opportunity. And unfortunately, I had to decline the offer. So a lot of people would have seen it as a curse, but I saw it as a blessing. Because ever since I started even my amateur career, I've always suffered with certain injuries that's been with me even throughout my four professional fights. That 1 month triggered a growth of recovery that's completely changed my life. I'm able to do a lot of things. Yeah, this guy, Naimov, he's in for a rude awakening.
You know, you mentioned about...
You've seen my fights. You've seen how things happen. My first...
You mentioned about dealing with COVID, and you know, some fighters are like, you know what, once I got it, I kind of recovered, no lasting effects. But then there's, like, you know, Khamzat Chimaev, the report came out about the issues he was having. For you, what was it? Were you able to just get right back into the gym and it was like normal?
Yeah, it was fine, to be honest. It felt like I had a fever for about 2 days. And then by the fourth day, I was A-okay. I just wanted to stay away from everyone, you know, just to make sure I was good. The testing was taking a long time to come back. Mm-hmm. So that was another result. So I mainly used that time that I was healthy to kind of just spend it with my family, really. But when I came back, I was fresh. I was good to go.
You mentioned about your opponent here for the title fight. Is training any different? The fact that it's a scheduled 5-round fight. I mean, you're a guy that doesn't, you know, you're get in and out quickly, but does the training change it all for you?
Yeah, definitely. I become more, you say I become amplified. Like my energy is completely skyrocketing from my my optimistic view to everything. Because it's one thing to train, but when you train with a particular focus, your training's enhanced. So with that fight opportunity, my mindset is enhanced. Like, everything is just, I'm sharpening on some techniques that, you know, I've dabbled with, mm-hmm. but now I'm perfecting it. So I'm about to come in as a whole other animal. So you can say that this training camp has definitely enhanced everything of my training.
What's your take on Muhammad as an opponent? What do you see from him that you go, okay, you know what, this is what he does well?
That depends. Is this gonna go live? Like, I don't have coaches to know what I'm capable of. All I know is that I'm gonna take advantage of all his flaws, and I'm gonna take advantage of all my pros.
You know, when you have a fight, and it's the first 15, 20 seconds of the fight, and just generally speaking, not with this fight, but generally speaking, what are you looking for in that opening 10, 15 seconds from an opponent? Is it more of, okay, is he coming out southpaw? Is he coming out orthodox, you know, in relation to what you saw on film? Is there something you're immediately looking for out of your opponent?
Just a feel. I'm prepared for him to rush me or for me to take advantage of the situation. It's always just a feel, because no matter how much you plan for an opponent, nothing never goes according as planned. So it's best to always just go in with a calm mindset, and you know, you have to feel out the fight.
One of the comments that was said to me about you talking about this fight, where you said fans can expect a spectacular finish. And I know, just, you know, in talking to fighters over the years, you know, they'll say, you know what, we all go in there looking for that finish, but you got to be patient. Exactly. Has patience been at all a difficult trait for you to have in this sport?
No, it's always been my focus. Because I always knew from the moment I started, before I even started training, I knew I needed a level of patience and stillness. I had to be calm, because this sport is so dangerous. Any overreaction, and then that's it. It'll cost you the entire fight. All it takes is one touch or just one switch, and then you can be knocked out or walking out with a broken limb. So if you ever seen any of my fights, I have the same neutral face, no matter what position, whether I'm mounted, whether I'm about to be tapped out by a triangle. My face is neutral, and then I manage to – I always find a way. I know there's always a way, so I always find a way.
In terms of your martial arts journey, was there a particular discipline that you loved first above everything else?
Oh, yeah, wrestling. I loved wrestling. I believe wrestling prepared me for every aspect. The learning curve of a wrestler in the game of martial arts is second to none.
And, of course, this fight's going to go down here on February the 12th. Of course, we can all watch this live on UFC Fight Pass. Olivier, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know they can follow you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, follow me at Warrior the God on Instagram. Big shout-out to Freedom Fighters. That's my gym, Freedom Fighters MMA, out in Kendall, Miami, Florida. My sponsors, Axe Trailer, Hydro Coco, Dynamic Wellness. Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything you've done for me.
And there was my conversation with Olivier Morad. Appreciate him taking some time out of his training schedule to talk to me recently about his title fight coming up here at Titan FC on February the 12th. Also, really appreciate Mike Rodriguez and Ode Osborne coming on the show to talk about their fights coming up here on Saturday night. UFC Fight Night, Overeem versus Volkov. This is a fight card that will be streamed on ESPN+. Prelims will start at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I want to say the main card is at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, headlined by Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov. The fight that really has me interested on this fight card, and of course, myself and Daniel Galvan will preview this fight card come here on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, is that co-main event matchup between Corey Sandhagen and Frankie Edgar there at 135 pounds. That's definitely the fight that has me interested as well. But overall, a nice fight card coming up here on Saturday night. Of course, we're coming off a weekend where we did not have a UFC event. We know that rarely happens in today's MMA, but this is one of the rare weekends where we do not have a UFC event, but this is a fight card that really does intrigue me a lot. Diego Fajeya versus Benil Dariush. Just looking here at the fight card over at UFC.com, that is definitely one that does stick out to me. Julio Arce versus Timur Valiyev on the preliminary card. That is another one that sticks out to me as well in terms of fights that definitely interest me. Of course, myself and Daniel Galvan, we will preview that fight card coming up here on Wednesday's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, new episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday. Of course, the Sunday podcast is the interview edition of the podcast, and of course, the Wednesday podcast where Daniel joins me, where we, for the most part, we're typically previewing fight cards, recapping fight cards, you know, things along those lines. Of course, when it comes to the Sunday podcast, if there's ever someone that you want to hear on the show, just hit me up. I mean, there's so many ways you can hit me up. You can hit me up on Twitter at @Jason_Floyd. If you want to slide into those Instagram DMs, same exact handle over there, @Jason_Floyd. Or if you want to shoot me an email, you can just simply shoot me an email, Jason@TheMMAReport.com. I will do what I can to get to whoever you want here on the podcast. And of course, as always, great way to show your support for the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review. It does help me out a lot as well. Also, I will mention coming up this week on Thursday, I will be on Osmo.com for the DFS strategy show for the UFC fight card coming up this weekend. And of course, for those, you know, it's gonna be a busy weekend for me, as I'll be sitting at home on Saturday night watching the fights. But then of course, Sunday I'll be inside Raymond James Stadium, as I will tell you, I talked a little bit about it the last episode of the podcast. It's still kind of crazy. It's a surreal moment for me. I've been now with the Buccaneers Radio Network since 2004, and to now do a first Super Bowl. I've been to Super Bowls before in terms of when worked in terrestrial radio, but yeah, this is a much different feeling, and really looking forward to it's gonna be a fun time next Sunday for the Super Bowl. So looking forward to that. Of course, if you ever want to communicate with me, as I mentioned, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're all there. You can check me out on Facebook. Just search Jason Floyd. You'll see my face, so you know who it is. So that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, this podcast is available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course, always available at RadioInfluence.com and TheMMAReport.com.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.